Congressman John Faso of New York's 19th District on the Congressional Corner. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Alan. Nice to be with you again.
I see you got 10 opponents who want to oppose you. That's a lot.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm not really going to worry too much about that. We'll let the other party figure out what they're going to do, and I'll worry about it next year.
Well, is it good to have a lot, or is it better to have a lot than just one or two? They argue with each other.
Could be. I'll let you pundits figure that out. Okay. I'm not sure what the real answer is.
You got it. Okay. You were on tour last week because there was tremendous flooding in Rensselaer County.
Saturday night, they got between 4 and 5 inches of rain in a two-hour period. So the town of Pittstown had a lot of damage to their roads, and I toured that this past week. And the village of Hoosick Falls and the town of Hoosick, which has gone through an awful lot in the recent years, they had tremendous flooding from a small stream that runs through the village underneath many buildings, actually, and it really wreaked havoc on, I'd say about 24 properties. And there's going to have to be some remediation of this, mitigation of this to preclude this from happening in the future. And the village actually just received a grant recently for this precise thing, to deal with this particular stream that runs through the village. So that's something we're going to have to work on with them. But the process of whether they're eligible for disaster aid, in and of itself, that incident was too localized to qualify. But if it's added and aggregated with other areas of the state, such as around Utica, which really had the same storm system cause flooding in that area, then we might be able to receive some federal assistance for the residents and the community, because there's a lot of municipal work that's going to have to be done, repairing roads and shoulders of highways, etc.
So educate us all. What does the congressman do in a case like that?
Well, really, all you can do is help assess the damage, understand what was going on. And if a disaster declaration, and that's made by the governor of a state, if a disaster declaration is made because the or a finding is made that there's enough resources, then the governor will ask the federal government to declare a disaster, which would then qualify for certain federal assistance.
Now, there's no hiding the fact that you and the governor have not been getting along particularly well lately. Does that enter into a decision like this?
No, I don't think so in the least. The governor's people were out there. They were right on the spot from the various agencies, DOT, DEC, Homeland Security. So I think these are the kind of things where there are no partisan differences.
Okay, so let's go to the next thing I want to talk to you about, and we've been talking to a lot of congresspeople from different districts about this, and that is the Coast Guard's decision not to do their anchorages on the Hudson River. This got a lot of people bothered.
Well, I had successfully put an amendment into the Coast Guard reauthorization legislation about 6.5 or 7 weeks ago in the Transportation Committee, and basically what the amendment called for was the Coast Guard to assess all of the comments that were made. There were over 10,000 or so comments made from members of the community.
Why were people so angry?
Well, I think they're worried. They're worried as to the notion that there'd be a oil barge parking lot on the Hudson River adjacent to their community, and that certainly has visual impacts, and it potentially could have environmental impacts. At the same time, people, I think, recognize that we need to make sure that the commercial navigation on the Hudson River is done safely, and that if a ship has a mechanical or other problem, that there be places where they can drop anchor, and if weather is precluding them from continuing, drop anchor or mechanical reasons, drop anchor until the situation passes. But I think many people rightly felt, as did I and others in our state and congressional delegation, that the Coast Guard proposal opened the door to creating up to 10 of these anchorage areas, and that raised a lot of community concern. So what my amendment had done is basically what the Coast Guard has now said they're going to do. They're going to pull back from the process. They're going to assess the comments that were made, and they're going to offer recommendations to us in the Congress as to what is needed and what is not needed on the river. And I think the initial proposal was overly broad, and we want to make sure that navigation is safe, and but that we're protecting our communities as well at the same time.
Well, John Faso, this has been portrayed by many people as the Coast Guard is giving up on this. It sounds like that's not true.
No, that's not true. The Coast Guard is basically reassessing, and that's really what I had been asking them to do in their in the amendment that was adopted in the Coast Guard reauthorization bill. And I chose that venue, that forum, to put that amendment because I knew it was a bill that had to pass. So we wanted to send a message to the Coast Guard, and I think they got it loud and clear.
I've got about 3 minutes now, and I wanted to ask you about the CBO score, which showed 20 to 23 million people would lose health care as part of the bill you voted for.
Yeah, the CBO, I respect CBO. They're very good at certain things. Like, for instance, how much is a particular program, if enacted, going to cost? They're very good at predicting what is our federal deficit number going to be, considering all the variables. What is the national debt growth projected to be? They're, for instance, projecting it on the current trend that in 10 years we're going to go from $19 trillion in national debt to $29 trillion. Put that into context. $19 trillion is $19,000 billion. And $29 trillion is $29,000 trillion. This would be a financial catastrophe for the country, in my belief. And CBO is very good at that. Where they're not so good at estimated what will people do on a subjective basis in light of different circumstances. So, for instance, when ACA was enacted initially, they said that by this time in 2017, there'd be approximately 23 million people covered under the exchanges. In actuality, there were fewer than 10 million people.
But hasn't Trump done, President Trump, done everything in his power to destroy the operation? Every day we read something that he has done, which is, I think, intentional to destroying the program.
Well, he may be a lot of things, but for one thing, he's only been in office since January 20th. That did not really change these numbers. When the analysis that CBO did back in 2010,
yes,
they said by this time there would be 23 million people covered under buying insurance under the exchanges.
Yeah, but on the
there were fewer than 10 million.
I don't want to fight with you, yeah. but the truth of the matter is the word is out. This president doesn't like this program, and a lot of people are very wary of getting into it because they think that he's out to destroy it, and they're not participating.
Alan, again, these numbers were all baked before he became president. So you can blame him for a lot of things or accuse him of a lot of things.
I do.
But you can't make the argument that their 23 million enrollee assessment or projection back in 2010 for today was correct. They were off by more than twice the number. So what I'm saying is that if you look at their assessment now that 22 or 23 million people will quote unquote lose insurance, they are, for instance, counting as people losing insurance the 5 to 6 million people who are currently now paying the fine rather than buying the insurance. Now, if someone is currently paying a fine rather than purchasing the insurance, how could we argue that those people are losing something that they right now are choosing not to buy?
Well, you raised the point of the fine. I think we ought to talk about that for a minute. In fact, we'll have to leave that over to the next time we meet, John, which will be very, very soon. It's great to have you here.
Great to be with you, Alan.
Republican Congressman John Faso of New York's 19th District.